Have you ever wondered how you should be running your comps? So whether you're submitting an offer or you're buying a property, you're doing it at the right price? That's exactly what this episode is all about. Welcome back to another episode of an Investor's Journey podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Barbera, and this is episode 47. We're going to show you step by step how it is that we run our comps. So this has been asked of me to do for a while, and I just keep forgetting, to be honest with you. I either forget or I have other stuff going on and I still forget. So PJ, if you're listening, this is for you, sir. If you guys are listening on podcast, I'm going to be as detailed as possible, so you can still get all the information, but I strongly recommend that you go to either primehomes.com or primehomes on our YouTube and watch the video, because I'm going to be doing an actual comp of a property that we have right now. So you can see exactly what it is that I'm looking at and what I'm trying to show you. Okay. So without further ado, I do want to actually put out there a little bribe. So, you know, a lot of people always ask me, what is it that you do? And saying that I'm a real estate investor has started to have like a bit of a bad stigma to it. You have a lot of real estate investors supposedly in the market, and they've given us a bad name, right? They're very shady. They're taking advantage of homeowners. They're taking advantage of sellers. They're extremely famous on social media, but they're the shittiest investors that you're going to have. So our objective with an investor's journey and with everything in that we do is to make sure to show how to do real estate investing the right way, right? How to have some actual ethics behind your business. How to make sure that the seller's not getting screwed over, that the buyers are not getting screwed over, that you're doing this with the best intention so you can build a long-lasting business. This is why so many people come in and out of real estate investing, because they're just so shady. So because of that, we're trying to get the word out as much as possible on how we believe it is that you should do real estate investing the right way. So with that being said, if you go to our Facebook page and you share this video, we will sit down with you virtually or in person, whatever you feel comfortable, and walk you through how to do a comp on a property, on a lead, analyze it, how to even submit an offer, what the offer should be, why it should be that. We'll sit down and we'll analyze all the numbers with you, everything step by step for as long as that takes, all right? So if you go ahead and you go to on our Facebook page at Prime Homes and you share this video, we will go ahead and sit down with you. We'll schedule a time. We'll sit down with you and we'll go over whatever property you want to go over. Even if you don't have a lead, but you want to go over any property in your head, we'll sit down with you and do it at any time. All right. So go do that. Help us spread the word. Again, this is for all of us. This is so we can all be in a community that we're proud to be in. And when you say you're a real estate investor, people are more amazed and not more like, ugh, you're one of those guys. So help us out. Now, with that being said, in this episode, I'm going to break down a couple things, and we're actually going to do two episodes, right? Part one, which is this one, I'm going to walk you through how it is that we do a quick CMA, a quick comp, to determine what our offer should be. And then on the next episode, part two, we're going to show you how we run our numbers on when we want to actually put the property for listing, either list it to sell or as a rental. So then, because the numbers change, and sometimes throughout the project, a lot of things change. So we're going to cover all that on the next episode. And this episode is just how to do a quick comp, how to understand it. I mean, it's not going to be that quick. We're going to take some time and I'm going to explain a lot of things to you. But once you get the hang of it, we typically can run a comp between 5 minutes, 10 minutes or so. All right. So I hope that helps. And let's get into it. All right. Biggest things that you want to know. So first of all, let's go over the biggest don'ts, right, when running comps. Don't use Zillow. Number one, don't use Zillow. I have a friend of mine, Tim Allums. He's a kick-ass realtor in San Antonio. If you know him, you know that I'm telling the truth. And if you don't, you need to get to know the guy. Guy knows a lot and the most ethical person I know. So Tim Allums has a cup that says, The A in Zillow stands for accuracy. So if you don't get that, there is no A in Zillow because there is no accuracy. And this is not a knock on Zillow at all. This is just to you. A lot of people use Zillow as comps. They look at the values and all that. Well, Sustimate says this. That means nothing at all. You understand? That could be either dead on, which rarely happens. It could be way off over, which a lot of the times that happens, or it could be way off, way under. You understand? So it's very inaccurate. Don't use Zillow. Another thing, don't use the appraisal. Okay. A lot of people, even homeowners, they'll call me and they're like, well, my house was appraised at this. Like, did you get it appraised or was it tax appraised? Because a tax appraisal is a ballpark. You understand? Like, they're taken into consideration, like, what all the houses, they run comps and everything on the neighborhood. And based on the square footage and what the most what most of the houses are selling for, they take that average, they times it by your square footage and say your house is worth this. But they don't know what the inside of your house looks like. You understand? So that could potentially be an ARV. Most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, these people don't understand what buyers are doing and how things work. And again, this is not a knock on them. This is just what is. Okay. I had somebody that wanted to sell their house and their appraisal came in. Their tax appraisal was 185 or something. My ARV, right? Repaired. The house was updated, was 162, 165. I was like, dude, first of all, we're not going to reach an agreement because you're way off. And two, I was like, you've been overpaying on taxes by a drastic amount. You need to go fight that because your house is not worth 185. No way in hell, right? So they don't know that. And a lot of investors, I see them do the same thing. They're like, well, it was appraised at this. And I'm like, what do you mean it was appraised? Yeah, the tax appraisal. That means nothing. That means absolutely nothing, all right? So don't use Zillow. Don't use tax appraisals. All right. The best way to determine value is to use the MLS, the multiple listing service, especially in Texas. You have New York that in New York, they actually post the sold publicly. So you actually can find sold on Zillow and stuff like that. So you can have a better gauge. But let's say here in Texas, it's a non-disclosure state. So you don't see sold on these public websites. So the best way to see sold, to see all the information that I'm going to cover is on this. So if you don't have access to the MLS, one, either get it by becoming an agent, or you can partner with an agent like I've done. I'm not an agent, but I have access to the MLS because of my business partner, John Barr, right? So I have assistant access and I can access the MLS to run comps whenever I need to. Strongly recommend you do that. If you're taking this business serious, either become an agent. I strongly recommend you become an agent. It just opens up your platform to so many more deals. And then if not that, find an agent and partner with them so you can have access to the MLS. Or even find an agent and pay them to give you assistant access. I mean, there's a million ways that you can go about it. No excuses. So first thing we look at, this property is a real property. I'm not going to give you the address because I don't want you guys bugging the homeowner. There's, a lot of shady investors out there. And there's a lot of people, and it's happened to us already, where you will go behind our back, contract with the seller for a much, much higher price that makes no sense. You have no intentions on closing on the deal. And then you go and file a memorandum. So you lock up. So then I can't close on it. And in order for me to get that memorandum removed, you're asking me $5,000 to $10,000 for you to walk away. So yes, there are pieces of shit out there that do that continuously. So because of that, I want to protect the seller and myself. So I'm not going to disclose the address, but I am going to disclose the neighborhood and all the information of the property. Biggest things that I need to know, beds and baths, how many bedrooms and bathrooms, the square footage, and the year built. Those are the three biggest things that I want to know when I'm running comps. All right. Do pictures matter in all of this? Yes, it matters. But not when I need to understand what the neighborhood is doing. When I need to understand what the ARVs are in the neighborhood and all of these things, I don't care what the condition the house sits right now. That's determining repairs, right? I don't care what conditions it's in right now. When I'm running these comps, this is how I'm doing it. That's all the information I need, obviously in the address. But I need the square footage, the bedrooms and bathrooms, and the year it was built, All right. Which the bedrooms and bathrooms is pretty much what you need to get from the homeowner or whoever's bringing it to you. And then the square footage only if they have converted a garage and stuff like that. If the house has not been touched, most of this data you can get online through BCAD. Great source. Depending on where you are, just go to your county appraisal district and you can search properties and they'll tell you square footages. They'll tell you conversions. It tells you all of that. So you get the actual square footage and they'll tell you that you're built, because there are a lot of times people just don't know this. So best way to do it that way. And those are the biggest things. Then aside from that, another thing that we look at is lot size and proximity, right? So lot size matters when you're starting to have, you know, you're starting to get a little pickier on the comps. So you need to know, like, all right, maybe, you know, these aren't apples to apples. So now what are the next things, the next best things to match? Right. So the lot size comes in handy that way, because you might have a lot of houses that are somewhat similar, but then one is sitting on half an acre and the other one's sitting on a quarter acre. Land size is going to matter and values is going to matter on that. So lot size and then proximity. How close is it to its comps? And not just in location, but also in all these other features, right? There's a lot of times that you're running a comp and maybe you have a 3-2 and then you're comping it to a 4-1. Right? And or you're comping it to a 2-2. So then you say, well, it's not the same. No, but you want to look at comps, like how are they valuing a 2-2 in that neighborhood? There's been neighborhoods where an extra bedroom can mean $15,000. And there's other neighborhoods where an extra bedroom means nothing. All right. So the only thing that's going to clear that up for you is the comps. You're going to look at them and you're going to compare the solds and all of that and see what it actually is. So the next thing, going back to, you know, things not to do, is don't look at anything that's not a sold. So a lot of people, when they run comps, or they've sent me comps, because we buy from a lot of wholesalers, send me your deals. They'll send me comps, which is fine. It doesn't help me or hurt me that you send me comps. I could look at them. I usually don't. I like to run my own. But when I glance at them, they send me a lot of actives, right? Or active options or pending. Those don't mean anything when you're running a comp, because active means it hasn't closed. And if it hasn't closed, it doesn't matter what it's listed for. They can ask whatever the hell they want for a house. It doesn't mean it's going to sell at that price. So there's a lot of times houses are listed, you know, for 220, and then they end up selling for 205. And if you're using that 220 as a price to submit an offer and it closes at 205, that's a $15,000 spread now. And if it was a marginal or a tight deal, that could be negative money for you. So you want to make sure that you're going off of solds. Now, there are times, and I'm going to show you some example, where we do use actives and active options and all that, but that's going to be in part two. And I'm going to show you why we use those, but not when we're buying. Okay. When we're buying, I want to see sold. All right. I want to see the house closed, because that's the data that I need. All right. So with that being said, what is the data that we're looking for? We're looking to find houses with what is the after repair? What does a house that's after repair look like and what's it selling for? Right. So that means that a house that's updated, or it might mean a fair market value, which means a house that's just clean. It hasn't been updated. It's just clean. It's been well maintained, well lived in. You know, maybe it has some updated features. You know, they did tile 10 years ago or something. But all in all, it's just a clean house. So a fair market value. We want to see what is that neighborhood selling at? You understand? Is it selling at ARV or is it selling at fair market value? What's it doing? Then we also look at what is selling. What is the quality of what's selling? So this is where a lot of people don't understand, is that when you are looking at houses, a lot of people get emotional when they're running comps and stuff like that, or when they're renovating a house. And like I tell people, listen, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You understand? There are houses, when you run a comp and you see what's sold, that's what you want to do, because that's sold. That worked. You understand? That is what the buyers in those areas are paying that amount of money for. So why am I saying this? Because a lot of times you end up over improving a house and it makes no sense. You understand? You end up over improving, which means you end up overspending. Now, yes, you might sell faster because your house is that much nicer, but sometimes that speed of selling is not going to recoup the money you just put into that house. So keep that in mind. You want to make sure that when you're running comps, look at the quality, because that's pretty much what you're going to do. And we're going to cover all this and quality and stuff like that later. We're also going to cover financing. What type of financing didn't close on, because that's going to matter. Days on market, we're going to cover, we're going to look for rents, and then we're going to look for rental quality. The same as ARV and fair market value, we want to see the highest rent, what is the quality of the house? Is it ARV quality or is it fair market value quality? Because that's going to determine a lot on how you're going to run your numbers. All right. So let's get into it. So jumping into this deal, let me switch over to the screen. If it wants to switch over to the screen, there we go. All right. So this is the MLS for San Antonio, Sabor. For a lot of you that may be watching somewhere else, you may be looking at this and it looks very primitive. That's fine. You get used to different things. This house that we have, the subject property, it's 3 bedrooms, 2.5 baths. It's 1,688 square feet and it was built in 86. All right. So what do I do typically? Right off the bat, this is how I run my comps. I come to search, I go to single family. Don't get confused by this. They released a modern version of the for our CRMs. For our Sabor. I don't like it personally. It's just a personal taste. But anyway, just go to single family residential. We have a preset that we look at, which is, as you can see here, you can choose to see all actives, right? Which is active, new, back on market, extended, price change, active option. Or you can see all off market, sold, pending, backup offers, expired, canceled, withdrawn, all of that stuff. So what we like to look at is active and new listings. And then we like to look at sold and pending. That's it. That's all we like to look at. This is just a standard analysis that we do. Do we use the other ones? Yes. We use a lot of these other ones, but it's only going to depend if we don't have enough data with these four right now, right? If we don't have enough data right now with these four, then we'll start playing with other ones. And then on part two, I'm going to show you how we use active options and other ones to run more a better analysis. And then at the bottom here, we look back 6 months. We don't do 9-12 months because appraisers don't look back 10 or 12 months. And let me say this, should have said it at the beginning, but whatever. Running comps, doing a market analysis, all this on houses is an art form. It's not a science, all right? Running comps, running numbers, it's an art form. It's an opinion. It literally is an opinion. It's a lot of times it's based on emotions. It's based on feelings. Why am I saying this? It's because an appraiser will go and appraise the house at whatever the hell they wanted to appraise it for. It means there's no rhyme or reason to doing whatever the hell it is that they do. And why do I say this? Is because I've spoken to appraisers and not one agrees with the other. It's insane. It's ridiculous. I don't understand it, but that's what it is. On one property, they gave us an extra $5,000 for a fireplace. The fuck do you need a fireplace in San Antonio for? Okay, but gave us an extra $5,000 of value. So we had three other houses on that same street with fireplaces. We didn't touch the fireplace. Even though we wanted to remove them to get more square footage, we didn't touch them. Because of that $5,000, we speak to another appraiser and he says, no, fireplace, this shouldn't bring you any more than $1,000, maybe $1,500. It's Texas, what do you need a fireplace for? I'm like, well, it's $5,000 they gave us. That's why we didn't touch the other fireplaces. So now if these houses don't appraise for that extra $5,000 because we have fireplaces, it's going to screw our numbers for our rentals, right? So these were discussions that we were having with them because you have appraisers that they just, one thinks one way, another thinks another way. I'm going to upload a video on a property that we did in New Braunfels that the ARV, plenty of comps for it to comp at 250, which is what we were targeting, 250, 260. They comped it at 158. When we looked at their numbers, they went back 3 years to find comparables. Why they did this, I have no idea. Complete negligent, complete idiots, you know, but they did that. And a huge issue. We fought with them, everything. It took over a month and we finally got a decent appraisal. But I'm going to look at it was a nightmare. But keep those things in mind, okay? So 6 months. You want less than 6 months because the fresher, I guess, the comp, the better. That's the closest things that the appraisals are going to use. Appraisers are going to use. So then what we do is you click here where it says select boundaries. This is what we like to do because what I do here is I center and I put the address here. All right. So you put the address, and what it's going to do is it's as you can see right now, the dot where it's at, it's going to put the dot wherever that property is. So then it's going to center on that address. So then when you run the comps, you're going to be able to do it. I already know where the property is. And again, I don't know who the hell is watching this, so I don't want to go ahead and put the address on here, but it's in this neighborhood. So what I do, so it's going to center in this neighborhood. I come up here, I select the polygon, not the circle, the square. I don't want a radius. I want exact, I want this neighborhood that I want. So what I typically do is I do exactly this. You see, I'm staying within the yellow roads, these are major roads, Judson, what the hell is that? Lookout, O'Connor. These are major roads. So I don't want to cross these roads unless I absolutely have to. And there are many times when we do cross the roads because if we have to cross it, the appraiser has to cross it. So, but if we don't need to, we like to stick within this. So you hit okay. Now, as you can see right here, it says drawn boundary polygon. So now whatever I put down here, it's only going to look in this polygon, not in the rest of the city. You hit count, 45 properties. So our MLS, I think after 40 properties, it gives you a second page. I don't want a second page because usually the second page has like the higher sold. I want everything on one page. So 45 is a lot of comps. I don't need that many. So I definitely don't need to cross the major roads. There's plenty of comparables here. So what I'll do is I come down to square footage. It's 1688. What you want to do with square footage is you go up or down 20%. That's more or less the rule of thumb of how close you want to stick to your square footage. So let's call it 1,321. Well, let's call it 2,000. So that brings it to 33. So still a shit ton of properties. But that's still a little more manageable. It's all going to be in one page. So now I want to get a glimpse. So 33 properties. It's a good amount of properties. So I'm going to click on view results. All right. So you see these subdivisions? So this is a custom layout. This is important because if without this custom layout, this is typically what everybody sees when they come in, right? So you see the MLS number, area, street, whatever that shit is, direction maybe, the street name, price, days on market, beds, baths, square footage, type, and photos, and some other nonsense. I want, again, speed. I want it at a glimpse. So I actually, you can create your own, right? Manage custom reports. So I created my own, and my own has what I want. I want subdivisions because I want to know, am I crossing a subdivision? And if I am, is there a difference between one subdivision and another, right? So if you look from Larkspur to Woodstone, you have 1986, Woodstone. Then you have Stonewood, that's 98. Woodstone, 79. So it looks like Larkspur is newer homes. Woodstone is a little bit older homes. And Stonewood is newer homes than Larkspur. So I want to know these things, right? Because that's where I'm going to be pulling my comps from. I want to know, am I comparing apples to apples? So I'm looking at all this. I'm like, okay, so my house actually is in Larkspur. It's in that subdivision. So it's good. It's right in the middle of both. So let's look at this. So we have this house. So down here, wood climb, this house is pending, right? At 215, 1688. But what did I tell you about running comps? A pending house does not mean that it's sold. All right. So just because it's pending does not mean that it's going to sell for that price. It could sell for 200 or it can sell for more. I mean, there's a lot of times that we've listed our properties and we ended up selling them for more because we had an FHA buyer and they needed needed more money to close on the property, right? So we just upped the price because it appraised for it. And the house on the market ended up selling for like 220, let's say, with $4,800 in concessions. It's very common, and we've done that quite a bit. So I'm not going to use this that pending. But let's look at these solds. So you have 1,800 square feet, 1,800. These are all good because ours is 1,688. So see, these are all wood, stone, stone wood. So why am I looking at these? Even though, well, this one's 84, 98, 78, 77. All in all, it's staying within that 1986. Like, we're within 10 years mostly of the 86 property. And if you're within 10 years, it's a good little range to be in. You don't want to get too crazy. So even just with all of these, and see if there's another Larkspur. So this one's Larkspur, 1700, 1976. So it seems like the years are all over the place. I mean, when you drive the neighborhood, you're going to see that a lot of the houses, they all look damn near the same. So let's see. This is Woodstone. Yeah, it has a 1999 build for 18 square feet. Okay. So these are plenty of comps. I usually try to get about 3 to 4 to 5 comps. These are plenty. There's plenty to pick from. So I go up here, hit selected. See, I was selecting these as I was looking at them. So now I want to look at them where they are. They're all within the neighborhood. Our property is around here. So we're like pretty much right in the middle of these. So proximity wise, pretty close. Square footage, 1,800. We're 1,688. You know, it's 100 and something square feet off. Okay. Most of these have a fourth bedroom. That's pretty much where the difference is coming in at. But then you look at this. So you see 1,888, 421 versus 1,879, 321. So an extra bedroom. There's not really much of a difference. All right. So on prices, it's not a big difference. This house is newer too. It's much newer and it's still just $3,000 under this one. So not a huge difference. You have this one, this other one over here, 321, 1,400 square feet, 84, selling for 185. So the bedrooms don't seem to be a big difference as far as value goes. All right. So an extra bedroom, more or less, doesn't matter. They all seem to have about 3 bathrooms or 2.5 bathrooms. Ours has a 2.5 bathrooms. So all in all, these are pretty decent comps. Yes, again, these are a little bit bigger. Okay. So let's take a look at it. So now this is what we would like to do. We click on the top one and we start looking at pictures. So right off the bat, they painted the exterior. They got professional pictures. Professional pictures matters. So the inside, tile inside, new paint. They went light colors. They did a little thing on the fireplace. New cabinets. They go all the way to the ceiling. So they got nice tall cabinets. That's nice. Granite countertops. Well, that's fancy. There's some island thing there. Carpeting in the bedrooms, new vanities, tile. So this is a decent type of rehab, all right? So what does this all mean is that nothing major on the outside. The windows, some windows look new, some windows look old. But all in all, it looks like they have new windows. So pretty much, this is a standard rehab. This is ARV. All right. This is what we'll talk about when we say ARV. It has brand new kitchen, right? Brand new appliances, brand new floors, paint everywhere, brand new bathrooms, vanity, everything, the showers, you know, tiles around, everything is brand new. So this is a brand new house. Quality of rehab is not a major quality. All right. They're not using crazy material. These are pretty much all in stock items. So that's ARV. That's a really good solid comp. Then we look at days on market. So days on market. So this is what's important, and I'm gonna botch this word. I don't know. Maybe it's my, you know, because I'm bilingual or whatever. But this freaking word always gets me. So you have days on market, and then you have cumulative days on market. Damn, that's a big word. All right. But the total days on market. So what does this mean? This means that they listed at some point and then they took it off and then they relisted. So it shows 69, but the total days is 116. So let's go see what happened. So if, moved too fast. So typically on here, you go to additional information. I don't know. You got to look at whatever city you're from, what it looks like. But what we're looking for is the listing history. So then you click on listing history, and then we look at this. All right. So they listed it new at 209. All right. So that's they listed at 209. Doesn't seem, you know, far off. They listed at 209 in November. Let's see. Usually what I like to see is did they switch offices or agents? So on this one, it doesn't seem like they switched office, but they did change agents. So the agent number is different. So it's interesting. So they went from 209 from November 20 to January 15. So you're in the middle of the winter, all right? It's typically tough to sell a house in the middle of the winter. Now I want to see the pictures. Was it in this conditions when they listed it back then? It was. And it was also staged. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to why it did not sell. If you're really intrigued, you can call and ask. We've done that plenty of times. We speak to the agent involved and see what happened, because especially when you see active option, back on market. So then withdrawn, back on market. Like, what the hell happened, right? Why was the active option back on market? A lot of times the house has an issue. They go on their active option, they do an inspection, and they realize that something was wrong, right? So, and the buyers back out because they're very finicky in these price ranges. So they back out. So then it went up again. Look, it came off market in January 15th, went back on market January 16th. And then it was active for a while. They did a price change. They dropped it $5,000. After they dropped it, let's see, 206, it went under active option at 218. So that $5,000 pretty much convinced a lot of people, apparently. It convinced somebody. It went pending. That means that usually that means that it passed inspection, but it was almost over a month later. That's crazy. And then it closed. So it closed at 204. Okay, so now we know why it was listed for so long, or at least we have an assumption, right? Something must have been wrong with it. It was a VA loan, though, with $5,000 in closing costs. So what does that mean? Is that you got to factor in that $5,000, right? Because now from the 204 that it closed at, the buyers didn't get 204, right? They got minus closing costs and all that, and minus the $5,000. So they probably walked away with closer to 195, maybe, you know, 197 around there. So that's good to know, because that's a comp right there, about 195, you know, about 200 is what I will comp this one. So let's see. Let's go back to criteria. Ah, shit. Sorry. So what happens when you try to move faster in the computer? Let's see. It was all of these. I think we did the pending. I wasn't sure. And then we did Larkspur. Okay. All right. So we're back on our list here. So good, solid comp, that one. So let's see. So that one, like I said, I would put the value around 200 on that one. On this one, let's see. This one is a 421, 1977, 1856 square feet. Okay. This one's a two-story. So it's a different house, right? If like you look at this one, one story, two story. Now, this matters. There's a lot of neighborhoods where two stories are valued differently than one story. This is important. You want to know this. So you want to see if this matters. So let's look at this. FHA, all right? So the other one was a VA, this is FHA. What is that telling me? Is that even if I wanted to do a quick flip, I got to wait at least 90 days before I put this house on the market. That's important, keep that in mind. 6,000 in concessions. So that's another thing. At this price points, sub 200, a lot of your FHA VA buyers don't come with any money to the table. So concessions is a huge way for them to be able to actually buy the house. They need the money back in order to close. So that's a big thing that you got to factor in. All right. 248 days total. I'm not going to say the C word because I always botch it. But 248. So that's crazy to me. So let's see. Let's look at the pictures. All right. They did a red door on the in and outside. That's interesting. Windows look new. New flooring. Cabinets look resurfaced. They don't look new. They did granite. They did new appliances. So that popcorn ceiling. So if you can see here, has popcorn ceiling. So they didn't do a major rehab. They did flooring, paint, granite. They might have done this bathroom. I don't know how they bought it, but it seems like it, they might have just done the tiles around here. Granite here with that little stupid bowl. I just find those bowls so annoying. Some doors are new, but most they haven't even changed the doors. See, they have the plastic insert. The other ones had tile surround, so that matters. Quality tile. This probably a shed, maybe, or maybe the washroom, but obviously dated. Blank picture. Let's see the backyard. Nothing fancy. All right. So this is a mediocre rehab. All right. So, you know, I can see why it was listed for less. They left a lot of things dated. They cleaned it up. It's not terrible, but it's not A or B. All right. This is a little in between. So now I want to go again, additional info, and let's look at what happened, why it was listed for so long. So it listed new back in in April of last year for $210,000. Jesus. So let's see. They did switch agents, as you can see here. See listing office. They switched agents and offices. So let's see back then what they do. So back then, so they didn't have appliances. And I believe they changed the light in the kitchen. So they did some minor stuff. They did some landscaping. They did some minor touches. All right. Some minor changes to the house. And again, it was from April. April price change. Active option for $189,000 in July. And then back on market, active option. And then it expired for $189,000. So that active option back on market, again, those are terrible. I mean, whenever you see that, not that it is terrible for the house. It's just, it's terrible for buyers. When a buyer sees back on market, it's like, what happened? So, those are usually a lot of times why they just let them expire and then they list. So then it doesn't look back on market. They just do new. So they do that a lot of times. It just depends on the person. So they listed new in January for $196,900. And price change. And when they dropped all the way to 187, 188, pretty much, it went under active option pretty much 6 days later. And then a week later after that, it went under pending and it sold at the end of that month. So it seems like there were some problems with the house. We don't know, obviously, what the problems were. And the price was obviously what a factor. You know, any house will sell at the right price. Keep that in mind. So ended up selling for $194,000 with $6,000 in concessions. All right. So what does that mean? You saw that it dropped to $187,000 and it went pending and it sold, but then it sold for $194,000. And I told you before that $6,000 matters, right? They needed that $6,000. So they upped the price to get that $6,000 back. So the seller's not walking away with too little money, because the way, if this is an investor, the way a lot of people are buying houses, they probably would have lost money because what they listed and everything, they probably ran their numbers wrong. And that's just what it is. So this house, even though it says $194,000 on it as a sold price, we know it actually sold for $187,000. All right. So that matters. $187,000, 1,800 square feet, but not that nicely updated. So, okay. So that was number six. So I'm happy with these two comps right here. I'm kind of getting an idea that my house at 1688, if I was to renovate it and make it look nice, like this one that I said like was at 200, I would probably list ours at 195, 190. That would probably be the target price that I will be shooting on this one. But I want to look at this Larkspur one that's actually in our neighborhood. It's 4.2. 1,700 square feet, 1976. So let's check this one out. So this one's a single story. Nice curb appeal. Very clean. Clean yard, everything. Very nice. They didn't paint the outside or anything. Okay, they didn't do much inside. These are somewhat custom cabinets. These are Home Depot cabinets, but they just got a little nicer finish. Granite counters. Little backsplash there. Tile floors. Laminate throughout. And that cheap laminate. Cheaper laminate. Not a fan of. Seems like it has popcorn ceilings from what I'm seeing. Bathroom. Nice glass door. Tile surround. Updated vanities. Nothing major in the bedrooms. Wow. They did a tile bathroom with a little half wall and everything. Not bad. Not a fan of the tile coming all the way around here. The same on the floor. Like, that's just... I don't like it. But, you know, it worked, apparently. Yard, privacy fence. That matters. Okay. Cool. So, pretty standard. Nothing crazy. Not a full-blown rehab, but some nice little updated features. This seems like it was sold by the owner, right? It seems like, to me, like somebody lived in it and sold it. Doesn't look like a renovated house. But this sold conventional in 18 days for $185 with $1,000 in closing costs. That's not bad. That's a nice little solid comp. $185, 1,700 square feet. Yes, it has an extra bedroom, but like I said, the bedrooms in this neighborhood don't seem to matter as much. It has two bathrooms. Ours has two and a half bathrooms. So, and it's a little bit bigger than ours. All right. And it sold for $185. So what I would do is, like I said, because we will be renovating it and doing everything updated, and we're pretty much from 1771 square feet to 1688. It's not a drastic square footage difference. So I would probably list around, I would push the 194.9 because, you know, I think that's it's a good price to push the comps a little bit. You understand? So you're pushing a little bit and seeing what the market comes in at. Because we think that, you know, once you put it up and you list it, it's probably going to list and sell for the around the 190 price point. That's pretty much what the ARV is going to be on this house. All right. So you saw how we looked at the quality. We determined that the houses in these areas, you have some fair market value houses and what they are, and the ARV houses and what they are. We determined the financing. So most of it was FHA and VA. So you were going to want to hold the house for at least 90 days. These on market, they weren't crazy. They were on some of these, the total days on market were high because it seems like there were issues. They priced it too high. They might have had some issues that it was active option, then it came back on market. So it seems like some issues were there. But all in all, you're looking at about, you know, less than 2 months of inventory in this area. So that's a pretty good fast moving market. All right. Less than 2 months. You know, you have 78, 69 days, 38, 19, 44, 20 days. So all in all, it averages under probably 2 months. So it's a nice moving market. I like the neighborhood, right? I know the neighborhood, so I like the neighborhood. I looking at these comps, like I said, I will be shooting around 195, 194.9, knowing that we're probably going to settle in around 190. So that's that. Now, here's what we do to run rentals. Again, I don't know what software you use. I'm just trying to just pay attention to the overall point. So I open up a new workspace. So it saves this last one, right? It keeps that one open. And under this new workspace, I go back into single family. And what we have is load last search. Why I do this is because it brings up the neighborhood that I just searched. It brings up the square footage. It brings up everything that I just last searched. Because I'm searching in the same neighborhood, same types of home. So now up here, I switch it from single family residential to residential rental. So it keeps all that data, right? It keeps the neighborhood and everything, the square footage and all of that. And now it's just, instead of doing all that work all over again. But if you look up here on the status, yeah. We select everything, as you can see. Because these are rentals. So on rentals, you want to select everything. You want to make sure you have all the options, everything, because you're going to see that it's not as many as it is on the listing side. So you want to get all that. And on rentals, because rentals are usually run 12-month leases, you want to at least go back 12 months because you want to see what are these houses renting for. So let's hit count. We have 46, all right? That's a ton. So that's a lot of houses. So let me see. On rentals, we usually don't get these many. So I'm trying to think. We'll probably go into types. So select single family detached. Make sure that you're not getting any like duplexes or apartments. All right, it goes down to 41. And then you want full bedrooms. You want a minimum of 3 bedrooms. All right, and a max of 3 bedrooms. So let's see what that does. That brings it down to 33. More manageable number. Again, like I said, our target is to hit one page. So hit view results. All right. So let's here at the bottom. So same as the other one, I actually have a preset view that I like. So it gives me square footage, days on market. It gives me beds, baths, the type of home, and the year built. And it gives me the close date just so I can get a glance like how long ago was this? Was this rented in the winter? Was it in the spring? Because that's going to matter. If you guys have watched any of our market updates, you're going to see that in the winter, rents go down and then they pick back up in the spring, summertime. So you want to make sure to understand when were these houses rented. So let's come to the bottom because these are the highest. So you have the square footage. Ours is 1688. This one's 1566. So that's nice. 1566, 1617. Man, the rents are really high in this neighborhood. That's nice. All right. So for rentals, let me see the map. All right. So they're pretty close to our property. Like I said, it's on this side in Larkbrook. They're all pretty much right there anyway. So that's pretty good. So let's take a look at the conditions of these homes. Let me close the map. All right, so this is 3-2. This is a 2-story home. Rented in 36 days back in May, June. All right, new tile throughout the whole house, granite, new cabinets, carpeting, tile surround. So this is kind of like an ARV house right here, all right? 2-car garage, nice driveway, nice house. This is ARV, not too many pictures. 36 days, see, 4 pets max. That's always good. Well, I don't want to get off topic, but you know, they're smart. So, and it rented in 36 days for pretty much $1,600. That is awesome. That is a hell of a rental right there. $1,600, ARVs are 190. You're going to be cash flowing real nice on this house if you bought it at the right price. So this is, and where it's located, it's Northeast San Antonio. So it's by 35 and 1604 in that pocket. Beautiful area. It's appreciating like crazy. I ran comps on this neighborhood a little under a year ago, about a year ago, on a house there. And it was about the same 1600 square feet. And at the time, the comps were 178, 175. And right now they're comping out at 195. So nice appreciation in the area. So let's see. So that's interesting. So that one was 1600 and this one is 1450. Oh, but this was September of last year. Okay. So this was September of last year. These tenants had a better deal apparently. So let's see. Laminate floors throughout. Kitchen not really updated. It's clean, but it's not really like a crazy update. It came with appliances, which is good. Let's see. Yeah, nothing fancy. It looked like they just they have the insert on the shower. They just left those inserts, so nothing crazy. Has a nice patio. That's nice. A little screened-in porch, but not crazy value. That's not going to bring any value, extra value for the rental. So not bad. That's nice. 35 days, not crazy. And then let's look at one more. I'm already seeing like rents are going to be at least 1500, 1600 easy on that house. So this one, somewhat updated, little very low end update. Popcorn ceilings, and they didn't touch that. They didn't take the fur down. You have your laminate, painted the house, some tile. Ugly yard, two car garage. All right, not terrible. And this one is 1,500 square feet, 3-2. Rented for 1,400 in June. 2 days on market. Well, yeah, because they put it for 1,400. So that's definitely why it rented so quickly. So, all right. So that's what I would do. I would probably put it at the same price as the other one, $1,595, because I feel that it should definitely be good. And then another thing I look, why we select all of them for you guys to see, is I'm looking, are there any active rentals? And as you can see, there's nothing. They're pending. So this is a hot neighborhood. This is something that if you put a decent product out there, it's going to rent rather quickly. So let's take a look at this one, just out of curiosity. So this is a two-story. So this one has Formica countertops, old appliances. Yeah, this one's just dated. It's clean but dated. Old, very old carpeting. Kind of gross. Old bathrooms. Yeah, nothing crazy. Dated house. Pending for $1,375. I think that's kind of low, but, you know, to each their own. So that's pretty much what we're looking at. So we're looking at ARV for this house is about $195 is what we would put it at. And $190, $195. Like I said, I will put it at $195 if I'm listening, hoping to get around $190 for it. And then rentals, like I said, we're looking at about $1,595 is pretty much what I will put on it. So $1,595, and then we should be within that ballpark, if not $1,550. That's what it should be renting for. And that's nice little return on your investment there. So I hope all of this makes sense to you guys. I hope this helps when you're running comps. Like I said, it's an art form. This is a lot of these things, they're not so clear cut. There's the areas that are even harder, and I'm going to try to look into one of the harder neighborhoods that we've done. I'm trying to think off the top of my head which one it was. I can't quite come up with it, but there's been neighborhoods that we've had to cross like major roads and stuff like that and kind of come up with a ballpark ARV, and it's been tough coming up with some value sometimes. So it's an art form, it's not a science. It's something you want to be more conservative, like I said on this one. You want to be, when you're putting in an offer, you want to be more conservative. So on this property, I'm putting in an offer. I'm going to run an ARV. I'm going to start with an ARV of about $190 as I'm putting in an offer, right? Because like I told you, even though I might sell it for $195, I want to start at $190. You understand? So I want to start at $190 minus my closing cost, which at that price point, our closing costs are probably within 10 to 15 grand, do 15 grand on the high side. So we do minus 15 grand. You've seen the concessions, which the 15 grand includes concessions, but you're looking at about 5 grand in concessions, right? Then you do repairs and you're looking at the quality of the stuff. You're seeing that you're going to need new cabinets, granite, new floors, paint, new bathrooms, right? To hit that higher price point. So you're going to have to factor all those things in and really consider that for when you're looking to sell and list the house. So you're going to factor all that stuff in as you're budgeting for your rehab. And that's pretty much how you're going to be able to run your comps on it and get to that offer. So again, I really hope this helps you guys. This is kind of how we do it. It's quick and dirty. If you have any questions or anything, like I said, if you want me to sit with you and run a comp on one of your properties or anything, you know, go on Facebook, share this video, and then we'll reach out to you guys, or you just shoot me an email at jon@primehomes.com and tell me that you shared it, and we'll set up a time, and it could be virtual or it could be on in person, whatever you guys want. You can come to our office and we'll go over all that with you. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any other questions or anything like that, shoot me a message. Let me know if something didn't make sense. If I didn't clarify something better, let me know. I'm here to help. Again, guys, we're here to do real estate the right way. So I hope this helps, and I hope this this gives you a little more confidence moving forward. So thanks for watching. Please share, like us. If you're listening on YouTube, subscribe, hit that like button. It helps get the word out. And again, any questions, let us know. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode.